Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. It's the Friday edition of the program, and this is June the 5th, 2020. I'm David Ellis, and with me as the technical operator and producer is Dennis Johnson. We'll be with you up until 2 o'clock today. There's quite a lot happening around us. I see here on the front page of the newspaper, the Nation newspaper, that the Auditor General wants action on breaches of rules and contracts totaling $1.49 billion at the Barbados Water Authority. This is a very important issue because as we speak, there are many people in this country who cannot get water on a regular basis, and the authorities continue to struggle in trying to deliver water to communities in parts of St. Andrews, St. Joseph, and St. John. And when you look at this report by the Auditor General, it really is shocking is indeed the right word. When you look at the issues that have been exposed here, and you really question how in this day and age we could have had this kind of loose operation. Take this conclusion. The BWA is operating in an environment of water scarcity and aging infrastructure that needs replacing. It is also operating with limited financial resources and as a result must use its funds prudently. Our review indicates that the authority has entered into several contracts that have the potential to increase its operational costs beyond its capabilities. It is my understanding that some of these contracts are being renegotiated. 416 says, these projects raised a number of concerns about contracts and their management at the authority. There seemed to be little or no adherence to the authority's procurement rules and a lack of sufficient financial and technical analysis of proposals prior to the selection of suppliers of goods and services. The manner in which a number of these contracts were initiated and awarded lacked transparency. In the majority of instances, there was no tender process, and there was inadequate information for determining how the contracted amounts were arrived at or how the procurement process was initiated. 417, the rationale for payment to the firm for consultancy services has not been explained, and there was no evidence of any service being provided. Appropriate legal action should be taken on those responsible for this action. But what about the recommendations? Because I know there are those of you who will say, yeah, but we had a lot of these suspicions in the last general elections. That accounts for why we got the kind of outcome that we had. So what about now? What are the recommendations? The BWA ensures that the terms of its procurement guidelines are adhered to. This requires a commitment from the chairman and the directors of the board, management, and the responsible ministry to ensure this is achieved. Question: to what extent has this recommendation been accepted and implemented? Two, the chairman should not be making decisions that require full board approval. This does not only apply to the Barbados Water Authority, but this should apply to all other entities in this country that are recognized as state-owned enterprises operating under these same rules. Three, the authority should ensure that awards of contracts are made after a rigorous competitive selection process, rather than accepting unsolicited bids. The BWA should ensure that it obtains all the necessary guarantees from government before committing itself to any agreement for which it does not have the necessary resources. The issue of the payment for the consultancy services provided needs to be investigated. If no service was received, legal action should be taken against all those involved in this particular matter. The BWA decides what is to be done with the meter boxes stored at the bell pumping station and ensure that there is no recurrence of such purchases. The parties responsible for this state of affairs should be held to account. This is very strong language, and all Barbados waits to see, one, what will be done with the people who were responsible for this behavior at the Barbados Water Authority, and two, what steps have been put in place, what mechanisms to ensure that there is not a recurrence of this kind of bad behavior in this country. But that's only one of the items on the agenda today. I put that one. What are you placing on the agenda? Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello?
You are on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, sir. I am on vacation from the United States, and I want you or someone from your station to find out from the government when the airport will be open so I can get back to Florida.
Well, as you know, we've been going through a phased process of reopening the country, and all the indications are that based upon the information that we are getting from the health authorities and stuff, I think it looks as though June is the period which has been designated for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've seen anything in the paper, but I believe...
No, because I...
I think in general terms, June is seen as possibly the period when the government will be doing a little bit more. Whether they will reopen completely, I do not know. But we have to sit and wait. I mean, there are people here in Barbados who need to get back to the United States and to Britain and other countries. And there are Barbadians who are living outside of this country who are anxious to get back home as well.
Yeah.
You know, we are all in a situation where you want to get back to business as usual. But that is going to take some time. So a degree of patience is required. So when did you come to Barbados?
I came on March 9th for 3 weeks.
For 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay.
And now my medication is running out. And,
yes.
You know, I got to go back home to check on my bills and all kind of things.
Yes, I can understand the kind of difficulty you may be facing. Others may tell you that you can get medication in Barbados too. Haven't they told you that?
Yeah, I tried, but someone said they had to go and see a doctor or something like that. The only medication I take right now is blood pressure tablets anyway.
Yeah, but you could go and see a doctor and get the medication for that. I don't think that is... You're not on any special medication that is hard to get in Barbados.
No.
So, but all that requires is a doctor visit.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that you haven't run out of medication yet.
Almost.
So.
Yeah, I should be taking a tablet every day, taking it every 2 days.
Nah, you prescribing for yourself, Diane, right? You need to go and see a doctor. And it's not going to cost you that much. I bet you it will cost you less to see a doctor and get that medication in Barbados than if you went back to the States. Unless you're on Medicaid or Medicare or whatever.
Yeah, as soon as these people know that you come from overseas.
You're frightened. I can understand that.
Yeah.
I can understand that. But I don't think you should let that deter you.
Yeah, I won't let, yeah.
And I think you really need to go and see someone on that particular matter.
Mm-hmm.
But just, as we say, hold tight. Just give the government a couple more days and let them sort out, you know, what they think is in the best interest of the country. There are many countries that are having to be very careful about how they reopen because you don't, more than anything else, you don't want a second wave.
Yeah.
You know? So you're trying your best. Now, in the period that you've been here now, tell me how you've been surviving in lockdown and all of that.
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I listen to you guys every day.
Well, that's a good way to spend your time.
Yeah, and by the way, I like the guy that was on yesterday. Very, 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 I think he's a brilliant guy.
You mean Dennis Johnson?
Yes.
Well, I think most people in Barbados...
Not taking anything from you, by the way.
No, I think most people in Barbados believe he's a brilliant guy.
Yeah, and I like the government. I always wanted Mae Motley to get a chance to be prime minister. I think she's doing a great job, but like you, when you open with your open statements, I think there's still a lot of cronyism going on.
That report does not reflect on this administration, you know. This reflects on the previous administration.
Yeah.
This is, if you look at the report in detail, it is speaking about things that happened under the last administration here. Many of these things we didn't know about, but in general, there was a lot of concern about what was happening at the Barbados Water Authority for quite some time. And this really speaks to a lack of control. And at the end of the day, where does the buck stop? It stops at the people who lead.
Yes.
That's really where we are. Now, we have been through a period in this country. Over the years, we have had various concerns raised about how statutory corporations were run, how ministries were run. We've had a couple of commissions of inquiry and that sort of thing. You would think that you would not find this kind of clear and flagrant abuse at a time like this. What has been identified by the Auditor General? And remember, this is not the first time that the Auditor General's report has reflected on what has gone on at the Barbados Water Authority. There was a lot that was said about the building of the headquarters as well. This is unacceptable. I don't think anybody in Barbados would want to have a situation where all of this is put before the public and this matter is not pursued to the point where someone or a group of people are held responsible. It's wrong.
This is
part of the reason why you can't get water in some parts of the country.
We don't use those words.
Yeah. In this country, you need to be exceedingly careful. You can actually identify your concern without going in that direction, because that is where you will end up having to go to court. So let's move on.
Let me take that back.
No. Let's move on. We've heard you. I sincerely hope that you can get yourself back to the United States as soon as possible. How long have you been living there? Okay, you're gone. Sorry about that. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Good morning, David.
Morning.
You made me laugh, you know. The man just express the truth, and you telling him don't get it.
No, you can't. Listen, don't know what truth.
But will you just...
Listen, let me tell you something. I'm not playing with you today. Let me tell you something. You don't tell... In those circumstances, truth is not established until and unless you go before a court of law.
I agree with that.
Right.
I agree.
Full stop.
But you know, you also said that this thing was going on ever since, and you raise issues. You raise a plight.
Not just me. I mean, many people have been raising these issues for quite some time.
I went saying, and in agreement with you, not only did I come to support you on that because of what I read, but don't forget that I was beating a case pertaining to Andrew's Factory in the same limelight where a person was paid or a company was paid to dismantle the factory, and yet the company did not know how to dismantle it. It was asking workers who helped build the factory to come and give them.
I didn't see any. I don't remember seeing any reference to that. I mean,
you want me to bring the reference?
I mean, in the report, in the Auditor General's report.
I was dealing with that. But before we dealt with the Auditor General report, they ain't get to Andrew's factory yet.
That's true. I think we need to get more information on what happened there.
Look, what I'm saying, I witnessed the Duffers Commission. I went to Caribbean Development Bank and listened to the Duffers Commission. How long are we going to make mention of these irregularities and nothing is being done to bring some sort of verdict towards the feeling or the minds of the people to make them comfortable?
Well, given what has been said here in this particular report, and given all that the Mia Motley administration said before it came to office as the opposition party, I think that there are a lot of people in Barbados who will see this as reinforcing their view that this sort of behavior should not go unpunished. This is ridiculous.
And I am in so much agreement, David. If you recall that during the last election, I was very adamant about certain things that I believed then was wrong, and I still going to remain here that things are wrong. If something is wrong, it is wrong. And I'm saying it costs the taxpayers money. Today, however you put the bonds before the public, it is not simply bonds. It is that government is begging the workers to lend them money. That is what I consider it in my own common sense, that the government is begging the public.
Well, the truth of the matter on this is if you don't lend the government the money, you can put it where on the bank, and then the bank every month can take out money from you. What is it, unless you are going to tell me that you're going to be able to invest it in things that will bring you significant return. But most people are going to put that money on the bank.
But don't forget, whether you put it on
they ain't going to lend it to the bank, but the bank can take it from you.
Whether you put it on the bank or not, and you put it in the...
You have an option.
You're still going to put
it... You have an option.
All I am telling you, that regardless of what happened, this country is in a state that...
Well, you ain't telling us nothing new. We know that.
Good. So why you got to be jumping on and telling me about what you're going to do with it? The credit union put... You see, when we are not educating the public, you can tell me all sorts of things. We, as credit union members, put money in the credit union. The credit union lost over $30 million. You don't hear nobody mention it to the public, to the credit union members, because everything is up above the average man. And as the average man opening his mouth to speak in this country, that's why, like Dennis Johnson, he ain't got no agenda. Huh?
Listen, I want to tell you that I am not here to be involved in any competition with any other moderator. Whether you like or dislike, that's not for me to be concerned about. When I sit here with you, I engage you as I see fit. All right? And there are times when you come down a line that I can let you roll. And there are times I'm going to challenge you.
Yeah, but I am not against challenges. But all I am saying, that if things like this continue to happen and nothing is done to address them, they will continue.
You know that you and I agree on that.
You think that this is the only thing that was brought before the eyes of the
public? You know that you and I agree on that. We don't disagree.
Good.
Let me say something to you. Look.
Uh-huh.
Look at this. Desal plants.
Uh-huh.
The authority, in an effort to improve the national water supply, sought to establish a number of desalination plants across the island. The authority entered into two contracts for the provision of permanent seawater reverse osmosis desalination plants, costing $40.25 million on the one hand and $40.42 million per annum on the other hand. Okay? Two of them. Now, this is what the Auditor General says. Based on its financial commitments and the need to replace aging infrastructure, the authority will find it difficult to meet such additional expenditure annually. No evidence was presented to indicate that these contracts were discussed with the Ministry of Finance and Economic Affairs, who would be ultimately responsible for any repayment outside the capabilities of the authority. The authority needs to focus on business solutions that are within the realms of its resources, or which have been provided with guarantees by the government before proceeding with any projects. You hear the people in St. John saying they had osmosis plants planned? Reverse osmosis plants?
You heard them say that?
What they didn't tell you, the people who have been speaking on this matter, they didn't tell you this.
But that is what I agree with you, David. You see, you jump at the thing that I am saying, people should be made to be responsible. I would like to see tomorrow the Honorable Mayor Martley set up a commission.
Commission work. This is no commission. No. You always tax spares money. When things listen. When you hear No. When you see the Office of Auditor General say that the relevant authorities should deal with this, that means that the police should be investigating it. Not even that. You won't come and waste taxpayers' money again and get lawyers big money. And God knows if you can be if you will get some yourself.
As a lawyer?
Well, I know you might play a role. You might be a clerk.
David,
I gotta go.
If the police is to come, bring the police.
I gotta go. All right, thank you. Down to brass tacks. You see the decision to scrap this alphabet system? Have you all seen what's happening at commercial banks? Long lines snaking all over the place. I mean, when that was announced, we said that we expected exactly this. I don't think that's a wise move. It's just, you know, we are not ready for that yet. As long as you have a situation where you are going to have to practice the physical distancing and the other protocols that are required, it is going to slow down traffic and it is going to create long lines again. It has happened. People out there complaining about it. Here's another one that people complain about. The whole situation with the bus system. Because people are restricted to 20 people in a bus and that sort of thing, people complain that some of these bus terminals, there is no control. People can just turn up. The last group of people come and go in front, push and get in front. The people who were there all along, especially, you know, the older people who can't get involved in the pushing and that sort of thing, they are left back. If you're going to do this, then there's got to be some kind of control put in place at the various bus terminals. But it is not business as usual. And therefore, in the same way that we had to ease into restrictions and look at all of the ramifications of doing this and doing that, easing out also calls for that kind of dialogue and that kind of examination. So I really think that we need to rethink this thing about the alphabet system. Because if we continue like this, you're just going to create a new set of frustration that is grossly unnecessary. And people got accustomed to the alphabet system. Another thing, all across the internet today, somebody went and researched a comment from Sir Henry Ford when he was leader of the opposition, that paying people in bonds is unconstitutional and against the Protection of Wages Act, said opposition leader Henry Ford. Ford, a Queen's Counsel in private practice, said that in 1951, the late Sir Grantley Adams, when he was Premier of Barbados, wrote the legislation into the statute books so that unscrupulous employers would have to pay all workers in the coin of the realm, meaning legal tender. Now, this goes back to 1991. He said, if Prime Minister Sandiford says that public service workers have to be paid in bonds, tell him it is contrary to the laws of Barbados. Ford advised public and private sector workers. He said bond payments was also contrary to the Constitution of Barbados. Ford continued, in Lancaster House in 1966, Tom Adams, Bernard St. John, Freddie Miller, and myself, along with Ernest Dighton Motley of the Barbados National Party, had a fight with the Democratic Labour Party to get fundamental rights provisions put into the Constitution that would support and safeguard people's rights in this country. Under the Constitution, no man can compulsorily interfere and deprive you of your property without adequate compensation, and money has always been considered to be property. Now, am I missing something here? If you say that in terms of the Constitution, it can't be done compulsorily. That is the key word. Why are we spending time all morning sending this thing all about the place as though something special has just been discovered about this? If it is compulsory, it's a different matter. The bond issue on the table right now has repeatedly been said to be optional. You can take it or leave it. And as it relates to the whole question of the Protection of Wages Act, I believe I've heard a signal from the Prime Minister that they are going to Parliament to deal with matters of that have been raised. And I expect that this is one, because the Prime Minister herself, as an MP in the past, was on record as saying that it is illegal to take salaries in these, take from the salaries of people in these circumstances. So that has to be corrected, but that all that requires is changing the necessary law. Am I missing something here about this unconstitutional talk? This is down to brass tacks.
Hello, hi, David.
Yes, welcome.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm okay. Good. And you?
I'm not too bad, not too bad. You know, you'll be holding on, and then you'll be on a rampage, and then it's time for people to speak. You don't get a half minute, right?
Oh, dear. Oh, here's your half minute, then.
Well, I'm surprised again so much. You put something on the table this morning about Auditor General, right? And I was of the opinion for many years that I really ain't got no time for the Auditor General. Have no time for Commissioner for Inquiries. And I really ain't got no time for Public Accounts Committee. Case in point. Well, I want to ask you, the journalist, you could ever remember anything at all that the Auditor General chased and come to a logical conclusion?
Well, what's a logical conclusion for you? That it was changed?
Somebody getting penalized or something like that. Talk to me.
I can't recall anything offhand that ended up with anybody being penalized, but you know, a lot depends upon how bad a situation is. I mean, over the years, the Auditor General has spoken about irregularities, the way that, some things were not done in the right way and that sort of thing. But what the language of this report is much stronger than I've seen in a long time.
Fair enough. Don't mind the language, David.
The language speaks to more than the norm. That's what it speaks about.
David, all I'm saying, right, it will be the same old, and according to you, same old warm soup when the dust is settled.
Yeah.
The Auditor General, most people in Barbados, even yourself, see the Auditor General office as a toothless tiger. All right?
But this does not require the action on the part of the Office of Auditor General alone.
So all he do, all the Auditor General...
He investigates... Identifies the issues and recommends whether further steps ought to be taken. That is what he's done.
Good, fine. And then what? Further steps.
Look, let me say something to you. All right, they got people marching across the United States after all of the years of suffering that black people have had in the U.S. at the hands of white racists. They believe that there is something different about what is happening now.
Mm-hmm.
Notwithstanding the fact that people have gone through this experience time and time again.
Were you up there, you would march?
Man, that's hypothetical. I live down here, man.
But I asked you a question.
I live here.
Yesterday, would you march?
Yeah, I live here. I can't talk about whether we march there or not.
No, that
would be based upon my experiences.
Look, I remember in 1999, right? There was a big commission of inquiry in Barbados. I sure you remember it. You used to bring a report every evening, just before 5:30, you. Every evening, right? Looking into the St. Joseph Hospital. And Barbara Tate was featured prominently in that report, right? You remember that? David is talking
about that. Isn't difficult to remember, but Bessie, why are you wasting my time with this?
I'm wasting the time. If you want to cut me off, you could cut me off.
Why are you wasting my time with this? Because remember what I said to you.
All I am saying, at the end, when that dust was settled, I remember Liz Thompson was the young Minister of Health, and the government of the day take up the same breath for Tate and send him halfway around the world to promote our candidate in the World Health Organization. You remember that?
Wesley, listen to me. And listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully.
Yeah.
I have said that I do not believe in setting up any commission of inquiry.
Well, I agree with you.
Right. The reason why I don't believe in it
is because money.
All right, well, you
I agree with you,
David. All right. But having said that, I believe that what we are seeing in this Auditor General's report is very serious. And it cannot be allowed to go unnoticed and unchecked. You can't do that. And you can't do it, especially in an environment where we are a water-scarce country. And with all the money that has gone down the drain there, a host of people in this country cannot get water. It is not right.
David, are you on the same page?
And I do not sit down here. I say to you, if this is what you have seen over the years, yes, we have seen a lot over the years that we consider to be unacceptable. But it's up to people like you. And it's up to people like me and all the others in this country to say enough is enough. That this can't be allowed to go unnoticed. And we don't care who are friends to whom.
6 months later.
You can be skeptical. You are entitled to be skeptical.
If you're not alive, right? If you're not alive, are you going to absolutely ever become a last serious Auditor General report?
Well.
That's so serious.
But that is part of the reason why that will happen. It's because your skepticism is so deep that you will not be pushing for anything else.
You believe that something will materialize.
Well, it's up to you.
No, not me. Don't put me in that.
Okay.
You're not. You're the journalist.
You're the citizen. You are the citizen.
You have a follower.
And you also have a platform. More than one? You have more than one?
Oh, my God. Look, David, let me touch. If you could allow me the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Going to the United States, a guy on the street, right, as a suspect of shooting two people. He was chased and arrested by the police, the white police in the United States. They pinned to the ground. This is a white fella, you know, get pinned to the ground. You know what the white police offered the guy? You saw that?
No, I didn't see
that. Offered some water, right? So a section of the media asked the question, so we don't bring the mask and pizza. Well, if you can treat a man, just shoot two people, you arrest him in canny water. A man was arrested just last week for a false $10 bill, and he was pinned to the ground where he meets his death. He ain't killed nobody. You understand? And you want to tell me, if I was in the United States today, I would be marching, David? Because when I remember Muhammad Ali, Nelson Mandela, Grantley Adams, you understand? And another fellow slipped my mind. They fight for the rights of black people.
But you see, what I want you to do is to compare and contrast your position in the United States with your position on this Auditor General report. You believe there are people in the United States who said that no matter what happens now, there's going to be no change. Racism is still going to remain in the United States and will be practiced at all levels in the United States. So why march? And you say, why talk about this? This is nothing can change. Same thing.
David,
6 and 1/2 dozen in next.
David, because we are the people in Barbados, we don't stand and fight for nothing. We don't demand change. We say
we are a docile people.
Listen, the only time we exercise change is every 5 years at the ballot box.
And if we get the right kind or wrong type of leader, we could lose that because of the way that we are. We do not believe. And let me tell you, I listen to it all the time in the context of this program and other things that we do. The person who got the guts to get up and say it wrong is the person who is crushed. And let me also tell you, don't ever get involved in anything and believe that the people who sit down with you and say they agree, or the people who call a call-in program and say, I support you, don't wait, look for them when the day of reckoning comes, because you're standing up out there by yourself here.
David Denny, Rick Hammond, he marching with you?
I don't know who David Denny, Rick Hammond is.
David Commercial. You know, two of them is a jewel, you know.
I didn't realize that.
I mean, we're two of them from the same organization, and two of them keep... The stand for the same principle and the same thing.
Mr. Kamishung is now an ambassador.
Oh, yeah. All right, I forget that. All right, David.
All right. Down to brass tacks.
Hi, David. Good morning to you.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Yeah. I want to say to Resley, he's making some good points. When I saw this situation, well, the one in Barbados today that I saw, a top auditor general, $11 million in fees, and this is as it relates to SOEs and engaging the services of 34 attorneys or law firms, and they were paid $11 million, which works out to be about $323,529 around there. And he said, the Auditor General said 8 enterprises were chosen for further review because of the value of the fees they had paid, and the main objective of the audit was to determine whether the SOEs had implemented systems to facilitate the procuring of legal services from attorneys or firms in a cost-effective manner. When I saw it, like Wesley, and probably like many others, I said, my gosh, same old, same again. We are continuing on this thing over and over again.
Which thing?
I don't support it. I don't support the abuse of the citizens' money.
Ma'am, may I say to you that you only looked at one newspaper?
I said to you, this is what I saw.
Right. I would like you to look at the Nation newspaper.
I don't buy the Nation.
I would like you to go to the Parliament website and go in documents and pull down the Auditor General's report and see what was said about the Barbados Water Authority.
Fair enough. I heard what you said about the Barbados Water Authority. I am telling you what drew my attention was what I was able to read. The Nation newspaper does not produce...
Because that was mild in comparison to what has been put.
I understand based on what you're saying, and I believe, yes, the Barbados Water Authorities, there are a number of question marks around the Barbados Water Authorities, but what I want to say, I won't say on air because...
Why not? Because it's too dangerous?
No. I will say, and I'm being very careful, you say that we should protect the station, so I'm usually very
careful. Because what you got to say obviously isn't that great.
I'm going to say is, though, anyway, you know, when we look at all the criticism, and this is why I'm saying I'm joining with Wesley, it is a continuation, because persons who were criticized under the last administration are the said persons that have been...
No, you got to go and read the report.
I'm talking about the Water Authority now. I ain't talking about nothing.
If you want to talk about the Water Authority today, ma'am, you got to read that report and deal with the issues that have been raised on it.
You have raised them. You have raised them, and I heard...
Go and get... Go to the... You don't want to read the Nation? Go to the website.
Fine. Let me just continue with my one point, and it surrounds this whole thing. You know why I'm upset about it? Because I said, we go back, we go forward, same thing. You look at what the Auditor General said with the Oystins roof, 100% cost overrun. You look at the AccuTree cut down, the golden showers. Oh. You look at so many other things. Then the new government came in. We have questions about the BWA building. You have questions about something at TransTech. A number of things raised. But then this new government came in, and everybody said, and Mayor Motley has said, talk about transparency, transparency, transparency. But immediately into coming in, what did we have? Sanitation trucks that were bought in breach of the regulations did not go out to tender. What did we have? While in opposition, it seems discussion was being had, and 5 days after forming the government, White Oaks, a firm of two people, were hired from the UK, and we don't understand fully if this, as a matter of fact, it seemed that it didn't go out to tender at all. Why were they chosen? Where is the transparency on that? Then you have questions about consultants, the terms of employment, same things like the lawyers in this situation. So when people say it's time for everybody to say enough is enough, we have been saying enough is enough from way back. And we continue to say it, and we have a change of government, and early into their terms, they're doing things that the Auditor General is going to report on at the end of their 5 years. So I am not going to have, no, woe is me, and this is worse than that. We go back, and they're all doing
yes, because it is convenient.
What I have to say is that the Auditor General, if this government was really serious, David, they would do a couple of things. They would strengthen the powers of the Auditor General. They would strengthen the powers of the Auditor General. Investigative powers, yes, but it needs to go beyond that. And it needs to have a bigger department with more persons in it. And secondly, we need to have freedom of information and whistleblowing legislation if you're really serious about having corruption brought an end. But it's obvious. After these trucks, sanitation trucks, were given out without tender, and White Oaks given out without tender, this government is not serious either. So six or one half dozen, they are all the same.
And I am of the view
no selective
that you, as a member of this community, you have a voice. You can speak to these issues and hold the government's feet to the fire, whether it is on White Oak or any other...
White Oaks yet.
Or any other matter relating to procurement in this country. All that is, what is most important is that whether it is today or yesterday, we should be speaking with the same voice on what is required here. And I do not believe that we are in a situation where action cannot be taken in circumstances where there has been abuse of authority. Only because we do not have an Auditor General's department that has the teeth that are required. There are other ways that these things can be addressed. And if I were to join you on one thing, it is this. The current administration made heavy weather of matters of this nature. There are people who are waiting to see what is going to happen because there is an unfortunate perception in this country that politicians all end up feeling that they are from the same chosen profession, that they are in a special group, and no matter what they say about each other on the political platform, they find ways of getting back together and glossing over the problems once a bit of time has elapsed.
David,
and that's what the concern is.
It is called the brotherhood. But you want to hear something? If this government
got too many women in it right now to call it a brotherhood.
If this government was really serious, and if journalists really wanted to be serious, journalists would have been talking in the same outrage fashion against White Oaks and all other things. But beyond that, this government talk a big lot about...
I want you to go and read it. Listen, I will let you. You'll get a lot of time when you come here. Today, I want you to come back to me on... Hold on a minute. I want you to come back to me on Monday with the Water Authority.
I'm finishing my point. Did you see this government do anything about integrity legislation as it relates to passing it? They do a whole set of talking and committees and all that. Where is it? Where is the freedom of information legislation?
But you just said that.
It's very important for us. Where is the other pieces of legislation that would help journalists, will help us, the public? No, nothing so like that. But you want every time something comes out, we must get in a big uproar. Yes, be upset about it. But you're upset about nothing. You're doing nothing about it.
And you're not upset about anything, because you don't even read the thing. You can't be upset.
I
want you to go and read it. There's got a lot more to it than that. No, there's a lot more to it than that. I haven't given you all. I want you to read it.
Yeah, but I would say reading it and what? What about?
But it can't be dismissive like that.
No, but what this government already did in the 2 years they're in. So what I'm saying is no change. Where are the audited reports of the SOE 2 years on? With this government, I am saying to you, this is where we need to hold the feet to the fire.
Yes, you are in now.
You
and the two of us together.
And then go back.
The two of us together. We got to do that. Okay. Down to brass tacks. Hello. It's 10:50 in Barbados. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
I would like to speak about those 98 persons that came back from Britain this week.
Mm-hmm.
All right. They were tested, and all tested negative, and we are told that 49 are in quarantine at Pargon, some at St. Lucie District Hospital, some at a hotel, and some in self-quarantine. Now, I am concerned about those at the hotel and those in self-quarantine. Could you tell me what measures have been put in place to make sure those that are at the hotel and those in self-quarantine observe the quarantine?
No, I have to ask the COVID czar. I couldn't tell you that offhand.
Now, we know that when the restrictions weren't relaxed, that persons who were in self-quarantine did not observe the self-quarantine. So now the restrictions are relaxed. What guarantee we have that these persons at the hotel and those in self-quarantine are going to observe the quarantine?
I told you the answer would have to come from the COVID czar.
So the press is not going to ask anything about that?
Well, you have asked the question. I can't speak on behalf of the press. I could only tell you that it's a question for the czar. I mean, it is reasonable for people to ask the question, so let's hear what the answer is.
So you're going to make any effort to contact him and ask him this question?
Yeah, we will ask for you.
All right, okay. Thanks a lot then.
Mm-hmm. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
Joining the force. I have to ask you a question before I proceed. Sometime during this session of government, then they went to Parliament to give the Auditor General more powers?
I can't recall the Auditor General got. What was the additional power that the Auditor General got?
Have the powers that his spare purse can be passed on to the Director of Public Prosecutions. Remember that?
Well, I have to check on that.
But this government debated the fact that as far as the Auditor General reports were concerned, that there were some serious elements of the Auditor General report in previous investigations, and that the provision should be made for the Auditor General reports to be handed to the Director of Public Prosecutions. I hope that can be confirmed before you leave the program today. But you see, we must stop playing politics. We are playing politics, and out of this inquiry, I see one minister, the Attorney General, making reference to his constituents, really how the money was spent. Now we're letting that people in St. Lucie, now we're letting that people in St. Andrew, now we're letting up people in St. Michael and people all across Barbados, except St. Joseph, has been affected. So this idea of him running to the press, talking about the Auditor General's report and what it meant to the people of St. Joseph, I would love for him to come and explain to the public if these papers, and one of the things I'm concerned about, sir, is that if the papers has been lodged in Parliament, then like you said to the Trinidadian lady just now, that she hasn't read all of it.
Which papers? The Auditor General's report is laid in Parliament, Mark.
I said that if the Auditor General papers were laid in Parliament, laid it up at Worthing. It wasn't laid down in the downtown Parliament. It laid at the Parliament up in Worthing, so I'm aware of what's going on. So what I'm trying to explain to you is that you have just told the Trinidad lady that she has the access to go on the website and read the insight of the Auditor General's report. No, I'm agreeing with you with that. I don't come out and just talk unless you know what is going on. But I don't think that this report that is in today's paper, that is the belly of the whole problem facing the Waterworks investigation. Because you and I know that we had a serious problem in Christchurch with the sewage project. You and I know that certain monies were given for the development of the sewage project in Christchurch. And nobody has given an account of that money. $13 million was given, you know that. And out of that $13 million, four wells got some for $8 million. Got to be $5 million in wells. Got to be $5 million in wells, but that money was not a loan. That money was not a loan, it was a grant of $13 million. So I'm saying that there's a lot more inside of the Auditor General report.
That is not, listen, that has not been covered in this report.
Okay, but what I'm trying to say to you, that there is a whole set of work between the period of 2017 and 2018 that the Waterworks has been at least audited for by the Auditor General. If it's not in this report, then what I've just said to you was in the public. That Christchurch problem, the amount of money that was spent on Christchurch, the various people that were given contracts in Christchurch. But I think that you should find out from what I've just asked, if permission has not been given for the Auditor General's report to be handed directly to the Director of Public Prosecutions. And if that is the case, I don't know
nothing about that.
You don't know nothing about it? You know why you don't know nothing about it?
Why not?
Because
why not?
I don't tell you to check and find out.
Why not?
Check and find out is very important because the thought you're getting this morning is that nothing is going to be done about previously. Obvious that Auditor General reports previously, nothing has been done about them. But if I'm supposed to be following procedure, then if I understand that they went to Parliament and made an adjustment to the laws concerning the Auditor General's reports, then somewhere along the line, this one falls in line with being handed over to the Director of Public Prosecutions. And I leave that with you.
What is significant here is that the Auditor General says in his latest report that during the course of the year, I submitted a proposal to the Ministry of Public Service for greater autonomy for the office. This proposal was in keeping with international best practice, which suggests that audit offices perform better when they are free from the possibility of operational interference. He says it is of particular concern that the financial statements of the Government of Barbados prepared by the Treasury Department for the financing year ending the 31st of March 2019 have not been presented at the time of writing. The lateness in the presentation of these accounts for audit is a relatively new occurrence and should be of serious concern to the government. Action needs to be taken to resolve this issue as a matter of urgency. So for the Auditor General, this matter here is particularly important and needs to be addressed.
Repeat the date that you have just given.
This is the 2019 report, but I don't believe that, you know, basically this now is within the realm of this current administration. That is not reflecting on yesteryear. I think that was reflecting on what has happened in recent times. Okay.
Did you remember the Auditor General giving evidence at the legislation, the serious legislation that different departments investigate? You remember what was said there then? I want to leave you, I think that I had too much time, and I want to leave you this. I am of the belief that I have read someplace, and I have followed up someplace, that the Auditor General reports should be handed to the police.
All right, so let's move on. Thank you very much.